This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, here's the deal. Anish Shroff is filling in for Wes Durham, who's on a very important assignment. Wes is expected to be back tomorrow. Anish has everything you need to know about the world of lacrosse because it is loaded, loaded, loaded with ACC storylines. We'll get into all that. We'll take your phone calls at 844-SAY-ACC. And, of course, we continue to stream live on the ESPN app. SiriusXM 371 is where you can find us on satellite radio. And, of course, there's an assortment of other terrestrial radio stations consuming the Packer and Durham content. And you can be a part of that. All right, let's get to it. Anish, good morning. What's happening?
Good morning. Did I dress appropriately today? I'm always conscious of how I dress for this show. I struggle with that. I don't know if that's right.
If you have a shirt on, that works. That's how we roll. If you have a shirt on, you can.
But you can't see that.
It's an optional thing. Everything's above the waist on this show, for the most part. So it's all about it. If you've got a shirt, you're good to go. That's how we do it.
All right. We got a shirt. There we go.
You're good. You're good. How's the weekend?
Weekend was good. We were in Chapel Hill yesterday. So got back around 9 o'clock last night. Saw the North Carolina men's lacrosse team clinch a share of the ACC title. They knocked off Duke, and it was nice to get out of the house. We've been sort of doing games from this setup that you see here in the man cave, and got to go to Keenan. Pretty good crowd, had a couple thousand people there, which is nice for a lacrosse game. And North Carolina goes and beats Duke, and UNC is now in position for probably at worst a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament, maybe the number 1 overall seed. And not just a good week for the men, but a good week for the women, too, for UNC.
Yeah, we'll get to all this stuff because it was a busy, busy sports weekend, period, across the Atlantic Coast Conference. So we end up getting North Carolina and Duke as they finish up in a tie on the men's side. Anish, they're 8 miles apart. Can we not just say, hey, guys, it's the best of three? You know, we got split here. I mean, do we not break the tie there? We just have everybody gets the share trophy. Is that what we're doing?
Well, you know, they knew how much you love ties, right? So
can't stand.
We were gonna share the trophy. But it was interesting because North Carolina celebrated with the trophy at the end of the game, and we're wondering, like, do they give it to Duke in the locker room? How does that work? Is there another one waiting for the Blue Devils in Durham? Because Duke had already clinched a share of the title going into the game. But Chris Gray, number 4, you just see there, 3 goals, 3 assists. He's not just the ACC Player of the Year, slam dunk ACC Player of the Year. The Heisman of lacrosse is called the Tewartin Trophy. The cool thing about it, it's awarded after the championship, so what you do in the postseason counts. But going into the playoffs, which start in 2 weeks. Selection Sunday is this coming Sunday, and then the following weekend is round 1. Chris Gray, for my money right now, the favorite for the Tewartin. We're split on who the team to beat is. My colleagues Quint Kesnick and Paul Carcaterra do a great job covering lacrosse. They feel Notre Dame's the best team in the country. I feel when they're playing at their best, nobody's better than North Carolina, especially on the offensive end. And UNC beat Notre Dame head-to-head. So if you ask me, North Carolina offensively, I don't think there's a better team in the country. Offense wins in lacrosse. Carolina, to me, is the favorite going into the postseason.
And it wouldn't surprise you if Duke won the national title. I mean, we've been bragging about how good lacrosse is. Oh, right. I mean, seriously, that's the thing. That's why I hate ties, and we should break the tie, in my opinion. And when does Duke get a chance to share that? Does North Carolina just hog it and just say, hey, you know what? Last win gets the keep. Is that how we do this? I have no idea how it works.
No, I'm not quite sure either. But the reality is this year there is no ACC tournament. And what's weird in lacrosse is the ACC, because it has 5 teams, does not have the automatic qualifier, the AQ. You need a minimum of 6 teams. And when Maryland left, they had petitioned and got this extension for a couple of years to keep the AQ. That's gone. So what the ACC did in the past, they held a tournament anyway. And essentially it was an RPI boost for all the teams involved. Well, this year, with the uncertainty around the schedule, they said instead of having, you know, a 4-game regular season and an ACC tournament, Everybody will play six games. You'll have two teams that you play twice, and we'll crown a champion at the end. Ceremonial, really, more than anything. But the stakes in Sunday's game, more than the ACC championship, were seeding. Had Duke won, Duke was a slam dunk number one overall seed over Maryland with one loss and a harder schedule, no doubt. I'm looking at it right now. Duke, North Carolina, Maryland, in some order, those will be your top three. I think UNC's got a chance at number one. Maryland, maybe now. Notre Dame and Virginia will likely be four or five in any order. And then the fun happens for seeds six through eight.
Think Syracuse is locked and loaded, despite what happened to them, because they got ambushed. I mean, they were wood-shedded this weekend.
Yeah, and you know what? That's been a recurring theme. Syracuse has lost two games this year by scores of 18 to 11. They lost to North Carolina 21 to 9 and then lost 22 to 8 to Notre Dame. When you look at who they've lost to, right? Notre Dame twice, Carolina once, they lost to Army. They lost to Duke by a goal. You say, all right, well, none of these are bad losses. Even Army is considered a tournament team. But the way they've lost, that is bad. And so the eye test normally in lacrosse has not been applied. The selection committee will just look at strength of schedule, RPI, and all the metrics. A game in February counts the same as a game in April. This year, because the Big Ten's playing a conference-only schedule and RPI is skewed like it is in baseball and some of these other sports, the committee will rely on sort of their regional these regional committees that are run by coaches, and that's the eye test. And if you're judging Syracuse, you're saying, all right, yeah, beating Virginia twice, that looks good. Those two wins are better than anybody else on the at-large bubble. Those are two wins that's better than anything that anybody has on the at-large side. But those losses, I mean, they look really bad and ugly and blowout losses. So Syracuse, I still think, will get in because the at-large field is not strong. I don't think they're a top eight seed. I don't think you can look at what they've done and how they've played in these games and say, this team deserves to be a top eight seed. I still do think they get in. Now, if they lose to Robert Morris on Friday, Selection Sunday turns into an affair where you're going to need the air conditioner on.
Well, we'll see how they bounce back, because it was not a pretty sight over the weekend in South Bend, because it was, and like I said, it was a woodshed job on that front. All right, while the men are taking care of business, the women actually had an ACC tournament, and it was 1-2, North Carolina and Syracuse again in Chapel Hill. And you know what? The ladies just don't lose in Chapel Hill, do they? I mean, they are just, that's a special, special team that Jenny Levy's got.
Pack, this is a UNC team that is on an all-time trajectory. You know, the first time they played Syracuse in a 1-2 game, it wasn't close. Blowout city. And Carolina really controlled this game from early on. They go on to win 9-4. They have stars at every level. Taylor Marino, who we'll talk to on the show today, along with Katie Hogue. That's one of the best 1-2 punches we've seen in the history of the sport. They're great on the back end. Jamie Ortega and Katie Hogue, one of the best 1-2 punches. Marino, the goalkeeper, one of the best in the country. You know, a four-year starter, a veteran, somebody who's had a ton of accolades. There really is no weakness. And yeah, Notre Dame came close and Duke came close. This team is undefeated. This team is on an all-time trajectory. They are the overwhelming favorite going into the NCAA tournament. Five ACC championships in a row.
Taylor Marino, by the way, will join us next hour. She was the tournament MVP. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, offense wins in lacrosse. But it was all about defense with the ladies in Chapel Hill. I mean, They gave up 4-4-6 in the tournament. Right, they give up 6 to Louisville in their first game, but then afterwards, catch you later. They just shut it down, and Taylor was awesome. And like I said, she will join us come up around 8:15 this morning. But, you know, championships being won by North Carolina is becoming old hat, as you pointed out. And when you start taking a look at what's going on, this was the 200 with North Carolina's men with the split, co-champs with Duke. The ladies take care of business winning the ACC title. That's number 284 and 285 all-time in ACC championships. That's more than anybody else in the league. And that is a goofy number when you compare it to everybody else, 142 more than the next closest ACC team or sport, regardless.
Yeah, let that sink in. 142 more championships across all sports. That is the standard. I was filling in last Monday for Wes, and we were talking field hockey. I mean, field hockey's doing it. I mean, everybody is doing it across all sports. Bubba Cunningham has a lot of selfies to take.
Hey, by the way, name that hairline. That's going to be today's question on Packer and Durham. Can you name that hairline? If you guess Bubba Cunningham, that would be correct. Bubba going selfie with the team championship pose there right there. That's a nice look. Look at that right there.
Hey, Pack is... yeah, wow. Wow. The men are first, the women are fourth. That's unbelievable.
Pretty strong, isn't it? North Carolina men's championships, 147. Virginia, 143. NC State, 139. North Carolina's women's programs, 138. That's impressive. I don't care who you are. That's strong.
Do you think Bubba Cunningham was taking those selfies intentionally? Was that part of the art? Do you think that was intentional?
Here's what I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess that Bubba's selfie skills are similar to mine, because I hate selfies. I think they're ridiculous. I'm sensing that Bubba was trying to get himself in that thing and then realized, oops, I didn't get the camera lens right, but it turned out to be a funny shot. So we decided to use it and turn it into a new segment on the show, Name That ACC Hairline. And like I said, if you guess Bubba Cunningham, you get Bojangles Biscuits. That's how we're going to go on that. All right, there it is.
Oh, nice.
You like that? Bojangles are going to come off the hip for about 400 biscuits, just like that. By the way, the 2021 All-ACC Tournament team for the ladies was announced. Mentioned that Taylor Moreno was the tournament MVP, and here is the list. And I'll tell you what, when you go down this list, you'll go like, you know, I saw Katie and Jamie on the show, and you start going down the list. I mean, we've got all these ladies have been on, it seems like, at some point in time. But this is an incredibly impressive group, because we keep bragging about the quality of play for both the men and the women in this league. And Anish, you cover this sport like nobody's business. It's almost like the perfect storm. You got everybody back from a year ago to take advantage of that eligibility. Then you throw in the Ivies not playing, the transfers this year. The teams have never been better in this conference, and they've proven it on a consistent basis.
You know what it feels like? In a way, it feels like watching ACC basketball in the 80s and the early 90s when – you know, everybody had these experienced players, guys like Leitner and Hurley and Grant Hill stayed for 3-4 years. And you have all these players coming back. John Donowski, who's the head men's lacrosse coach at Duke, was telling us this week, it feels like you have pros. You have, you know, almost old guys playing. And so it's not just the talent, it's the level of play. And this is not a slight to the other conferences out there. But when you have watched ACC lacrosse this year, it has been without peer. It's just a different level of play where the individual skills, guys playing together for 3-4 years. You know, we do a lot of college football and a lot of college basketball where our attention is really focused. And you see so many early departures. It's hard to kind of follow year from year. And now in the age of the transfer portal, okay, this guy's gone. This guy's coming out. The portal is starting to become a thing in lacrosse, but in the ACC, so many players came back, and so many more are coming back next year. Chris Gray, who we talked about, North Carolina's star, he's coming back for a fifth year next year. Matt Moore, one of the best players in the ACC, who's a star attackman for Virginia, he's coming back next year. So there is this continuity, and, you know, it's going to reach the stage of, oh, this guy's still in school. I mean, we're at that point with fifth and sixth year guys, but it's made for just such a high, elevated brand of lacrosse that I think it helps to bring in new fans. I mean, you've been telling me you're watching Thursday night, and you're like, man, this is, you know, you don't have to be a lacrosse fan to know, hey, we're watching high-level athletics right here.
Well, it's also refreshing to see juniors and seniors who are really talented that have put in the work, as opposed to what we went through in the college basketball season where guys just get up and leave in the middle of a season, or they're heading somewhere else, and you just don't get a chance to know them or watch their games develop under one coach, under one roof. And, hey, listen, the student-athletes got more power and control than ever before. they want to exercise that right, they have the ability to do so. But from a big sport perspective, lacrosse, I've just kind of jumped on the bandwagon lately, as I pointed out to you multiple times, but it's a joy to watch because you can just see everybody having a blast playing this fast, furious sport. And the league right now is just ridiculously good. I mean, it's ridiculously good. And I think that's going to be proven when we get to the NCAA tournament and so forth. Before we get out of here in the first segment, one of the things that was kicked around the tail end of the show on Friday was the Kentucky Derby, which one of these days, Packer and Durham will eventually get to Louisville and broadcast live. And Jim Boeheim, of course, the head basketball coach at Syracuse, had a little skin in the game with Hidden Stash. And one of our questions last week going into the weekend for the Derby was, would Hidden Stash finish last? One of us said yes. One of us said no. If you said no, you would be correct. Thank you. Hidden Stash, by the way, finished 14th in the Kentucky Derby. 14th. We had 20 horses in, one horse scratched, 19 in the field. But Hidden Stash and Jim Boeheim rearview mirrored at least five of them, which is good news. So there you go. Derby was awesome.
So 14, if you finish 14th in the ACC, that's not good. But if you finish 14th in the Derby, you do come away with some prize money, right?
I would think so. Listen, I don't know how much you got to come off the hip to get some of these horses. I mean, there were some again, I know nothing about horse racing. I know more about lacrosse than I do horse racing. And I know that's an expense. There's a reason that's the that's the king of kings, man. That's the deal. That's right. You got to have some serious coin to be in the horse racing business. That's all I know. And you got to be making Jim Boeheim money to partake with that deal. So hopefully Coach got something out of that over the weekend, finishing 14th. I don't know. Got no idea. No ties.
Now, will Hidden Stash run in the Preakness?
Listen, you're asking the wrong guy. Will I be watching in a couple weeks? Yeah, I'll be watching. I have no earthly idea. And we're going to get a coach on here and find out what the status is with Hidden Stash moving forward after that 14 spot in the Derby. But nevertheless, that's your Kentucky Derby update. We'll take some phone calls today. We'll have some fun. We got a lot to cover. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. Guest-wise, we mentioned Taylor Moreno is going to join us, the goalie for North Carolina's Championship Women's Club. Tommy McNamara from Notre Dame will join us, talk a little lacrosse. And he's got a story that we're going to have to get into as far as being a solid citizen, right? A solid citizen.
Yes.
Doing what you're supposed to. We'll explain all that later in the show. Dallin Cuff will join us, and Colin Craig will join us as well, talking some more lacrosse. And I want to talk to Colin because in his bio at the University of North Carolina, he said his favorite pastime is eating a good steak. So we will break that down with Colin, amongst other things. And again, we'll take your phone calls, but a heavy, heavy lacrosse, but we got baseball, we got field hockey, we've got soccer, we got softball. There was a ton of stuff going on this weekend. And Anish, we have our job to cover all of it before we're out of here.
Can't wait, man. Can't wait. Good to be back with you.
You got it. Come right back to you. It's Packer and Durham. Anish filling in for West Durham, who is on assignment. And he'll be back. And oh, yeah, by the way, this guy, Trevor Lawrence, he had a pretty good weekend. We're getting all that stuff. 51 ACC players drafted, especially if you count Notre Dame. We'll get into all that when we return right here, Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham is presented by New York Life, helping people act on their love for over 175 years. The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life, 844-SAY-ACCN, the number for the program. Believe it or not, the NFL draft just finished up. I swear, about a half an hour ago, I think they just finished up the 93rd round. But we're good to go. If you include Notre Dame, which apparently the conference office is, since they were a member of the league last year, that would be 51 would be the right number. 51 players from the Atlantic Coast Conference were drafted in some shape, way, or form over the weekend, Anish. Which, again, solid number, right, for the league. No question about that. But there were some names that I was really surprised did not get a phone call. I mean, there were a couple that I could not believe that didn't get at least a phone call in first through seven rounds. I just can't believe it. But again, I'm not a GM. Don't plan to be in one.
Charles Snowden, the linebacker at Virginia, that was one that surprised me with his length and the numbers he put up and the production. I thought, wow, this guy's not going to get drafted. That stunned me a little bit, but it was interesting. The last day of the draft, I was texting with a buddy of mine who, you know, represents a lot of these players that end up being taken in the later rounds, you know, the last 2 days of the draft. And he brought up an interesting point. He said, if you're not taken in the first six rounds, we tell our guys, you don't want to be drafted in the seventh round. And, you know, it was weird. I said, really? And because, you know, all you hear from all these guys growing up, you know, I want to get drafted. It's my dream to be an NFL draft pick one day. But the point that this agent made was, if you get taken in the seventh round, the only way that's usually a good thing is if a team trades up to get you, because they'll usually give up maybe, you know, a fifth or a sixth round pick the following year to get you, and they're thinking this guy can fill an immediate need. Otherwise, when you get that far down, it is just a little bit of a crapshoot, and we're just plucking guys. All right, let's take this guy. Let's take this guy. And they said, if you're an undrafted free agent, you've got a better shot at sticking with a team because now, you know, the agents can kind of survey the field. Okay, the Jets need depth at safety. Well, we've got a safety. This guy didn't get drafted. How about an invitation to camp? Sure, let's go. Let's make it happen. And a lot of those deals are getting done anyway, kind of off the books. And so guys who don't get drafted in that seventh round, you can find yourself in a better position and have a better chance at a longer career in lieu of maybe a signing bonus that you would get as a draft pick. And so I thought that was fascinating that, you know, they're telling their clients, hey, it's better to be an undrafted free agent than a seventh round pick.
That's probably 100% true. But I will tell you, there were three guys who became, I thought, some of our favorites on the show in terms of being on here multiple times and tremendous players. You mentioned Snowden from Virginia. Marvin Wilson from Florida State. I mean, this was a guy that a lot of folks had kind of earmarked as a potential first rounder the year before, and he decided to come back for one more year at Florida State, and he wasn't drafted at all. And my man, Paris Ford,
yeah,
one of my favorite players in the league last year, who would just take your head off in the Pitt secondary, did not get the phone call either. So three pretty high-profile guys that you just assumed at some point in time would get that phone call with Wilson and Snowden and Ford. But as you pointed out, if you're not going to go 5, 6, 7, you know what? That's all right. Get the phone call and go prove it. So despite the fact that those three guys didn't get the phone call, we mentioned 51 did. The one team in the league, if you want to have a bar bet, and no disrespect to Notre Dame fans watching, I'm not going to include you in this conversation because you were one and done in the league and you're now back to your independent status. But if you took Notre Dame out of the equation, Pitt, old Pat Narduzzi and the boys put six guys in the NFL draft, including no Paris Ford. But all of these guys, I'm not surprised at all that all of them got picked. I mean, there was a lot of talent on that Pitt team last year.
Yeah, especially on the defensive end. And I like the convenience back, right? Like, we'll count Notre Dame, you know, for the total number of ACC picks. But selective data points.
Well, I mean, listen, I get it. Right. I mean, Notre Dame was an ACC member last year, but, you know, Notre Dame's an independent. I mean, that's what they want to be until proven otherwise. And I got no issues with it. If they want to join the conference, that'd be great. If they want to stay independent, they've been that way for 100 trillion years other than last season. And if that's what they want to do, cool. I'm good with that either. You know, it doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't. But if you want to include them in ACC picks, make it 51, great. If you want to kick Notre Dame out, it's 42. Either way, the conference had a solid showing in the NFL draft.
To your point about Pitt, though, six draft picks is a big deal. I mean, you have draft picks. It helps you recruit. It helps you pump up the program. But I went back a couple of years, and I remember preparing for an NC State game, and this was in 2019. And we look back from 2017 to 2018, that two-year span. You know what two teams had the most draft picks in the ACC? NC State and Miami.
About that.
And when you look at the overall records during that span, it was okay, but it was still underwhelming. So the one thing we've learned is, producing draft picks certainly helps. I mean, look at Alabama, 6 in the first round. They won the championship. We've seen it with Clemson. But it hasn't completely been something that always aligns with on-field success in the ACC. So just a little bit of context.
That would be accurate, and it's also a great selling point. Listen, if you're Pat Narduzzi, man, you include that in every sales pitch, no matter who you're talking about. Hey, listen, we put more guys in the NFL last year than anybody else in the ACC. I mean, that's part of the deal. That's what recruiting's all about. But they had some really good players. By the way, Jacksonville and the New York Jets had 4 ACC players selected each. That was the tops on that front. So if you're sitting there trying to say, hey, who am I going to follow in the next level? There might be 2 groups that you take a look at up there in New York and also Jacksonville. Of course, the Jags with a pair of first-round picks with Travis Etienne and Trevor Lawrence taking care of business on that front. So we'll talk more about the NFL draft, though, later on in the program. I mentioned we got some great guests coming up. Taylor Marino will be our first guest coming up around 8:15. But guess what? Tonight, I got news for you. Larry Penley, my main man, Clemson Golf. One of the most dramatic finishes in ACC golf history. Clemson-Florida State showdown. Guess what? Tonight at 7 Eastern, we're going to have the best of the ACC Men's Golf Championship that was played at Capital City Club in Milton, Georgia. That was April 23rd through the 26th. You can watch the one-hour recap right here on ACC Network or check it out on the ESPN app. ACC Men's Golf Championship, Clemson-Florida State. Epic final match play showdown. No ties. We play for a win. That's what we do.
No ties.
That's what we do. We're not splitting it. We're not saying you get the trophy on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I get it Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. No, we don't do that. When we come back, you're on Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. We're going to give you the very best of the weekend. And there was a ton of stuff going on, including the Carters getting drafted. We'll get in all that stuff. And of course, we'll take your phone calls, too, at 844-SAY-ACCN. We got Anish Shroff. He's filling in for Wes. It's Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. Pull up a chair. Talk to you in a second.
Packer and Durham. Welcome back to Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life.
All right, Packer and Durham, you got it. Memorize it. Presented by New York Life. You got that part. Now, we're going to give it to you. The very, very best of the weekend. And like I told you, there was a lot of stuff going on in the league. And we're going to start off with soccer. The ACC men's and women's soccer programs in the NCAA tournament were perfect. I mean, they lined them up, knocked them all down. 5 up on the men's side, 5 up on the ladies' side. Anish, I know we're going to talk to Dallin Cuff later on during the power hour, but much like lacrosse, field hockey, soccer, I mean, the league is just great. I mean, it's a great league. And soccer, no different.
How about the spring sports, just propping up what happened during the not-so-memorable basketball campaign?
True.
You mentioned the sweep this weekend. It's what the ACC has done this spring has been – astounding. Men's and women's soccer, lacrosse, field hockey. It's kind of making up for what happened in March.
I tend to agree with that. I mean, you throw in golf as well, both the men's and women's side. I mean, you pick a sport in the spring, the league has been dynamic, but soccer has just been so good. It was great in the fall. It's been great in the spring. And so far, so good in both the men's and women's NCAA soccer tournaments, which we'll talk about more later on. By the way, Wednesday and Thursday, the next round, according to the schedule. So we'll get into all that, but nobody lost. Everything's good. Same thing with the ACC field hockey clubs. That would be North Carolina and Louisville. NCAA tournament underway, and guess what? We're in now to the semifinals, and Louisville and North Carolina have their spots. There it is. Aaron Mattson, superstar, taking care of business. North Carolina rolls. Louisville wins. How about that?
UNC and Louisville. I go back to, I believe it was way back in the fall, October, November, Louisville ended North Carolina's long winning streak. So that's the only loss North Carolina has on its ledger. File that away.
That's it. By the way, we're down to the semifinals. Like I said, it's an ACC Big Ten Challenge. North Carolina will take on Iowa, Michigan, and Louisville. All chalk, 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds, all moving on to the semifinals. Next up, UNC women's lacrosse program we talked about wins an ACC championship. How about the fact, though, in the semis, they put 18 consecutive goals against the Irish. 18 straight.
It is a team without weakness. You look at every level. They have not just a great player, they have a star. They have an elite player, a superstar. And starts on offense with Ortega and Hogue, Trenchard anchoring the defense. And then we're going to talk to Taylor Marino. And she's got a great story. I'm excited to talk to her. One of the best, if not the best goalie in the country. So they can beat you in so many ways. I mean, that was the impressive thing, right? They drop 18 on Notre Dame in the semis. And then in the championship, you're Syracuse, you're thinking, man, if we can hold North Carolina under 10, we've got a chance. Well, they do. They hold North Carolina to 9, and UNC holds Syracuse to 4.
Well, North Carolina with 18 consecutive against Notre Dame on Saturday. I guess the Notre Dame men's baseball program was watching because they were taking on the Tar Heels this weekend in baseball. And yesterday they put a 19 spot on the board as they swept North Carolina. And this Notre Dame baseball team, by the way, got the best record going on. And I know we'll get to Louisville here in a minute, but Notre Dame baseball, you heard me, Notre Dame baseball is just chewing up series. They sweep the Heels. And right now, this is a nasty group now. I don't think anybody's real excited about seeing Notre Dame moving forward if you got to play these guys. The Irish are tough.
It's one of the best stories in college baseball. This was not a team that was in any preseason top 25 ranking. This was a team looked at from the big college baseball perspective as, you know, part of a very deep ACC. Let's see what Notre Dame can do. You know, they showed some signs last year in the truncated season, and they've hit with power. They've pitched well enough, and you're right. They just continue to win series. It's been their hallmark. They've been so consistent, really, from the very beginning of the season, and I don't think anybody saw Notre Dame being a regional host. They are in line to host a regional in South Bend. It's been one of the best stories in all of college baseball because, again, when you look at just how it plays out in baseball, teams from the Midwest, you know, when you have cold weather early, they tend to start slow. It's harder for those teams to be a regional host. You know, the Big Ten, even though Michigan was in the finals a few years ago against Vandy, that's rare to see Midwestern teams be this good, especially in college baseball. What Notre Dame is doing is remarkable. It's one of the best stories in the sport.
There's no doubt, and you throw Pittsburgh in there as well. And the Pitt Panthers have been a great story this year, and Louisville coming off a sweep. We'll talk about that here in a second. But Notre Dame baseball is legit. Speaking of crazy runs in baseball, how about what Virginia did to Virginia Tech on Friday night? They beat them by 17. It's the largest win margin in the 122-year history of the series. The Hoos end up winning this series 2 out of 3. Virginia Tech beat them in game 2. Anytime the Commonwealth folks get together, you know it's going to be a good time. But man alive, did Virginia put on a show Friday night.
And more importantly, they won on Sunday to win the series. Virginia's coming. Preseason top 25 team that really, really underwhelmed for the first half of the season. I think they've now won 4 of their last 5 series. The only series they lost was to the preseason favorite in the ACC. That was Louisville. This is a team that's starting to play to expectations. They still probably need to win their next 2 series to get into the NCAA tournament. But all of a sudden, you know, this is a team that Brian O'Connor has playing well, playing with confidence. 1 through 9, this was supposed to be one of the better lineups in the country. We saw that on Friday. We hadn't seen that the first half of the season. Virginia might be one of those teams if you're, you know, one of these the juggernauts from the SEC team and Virginia's a 2 or 3 seed in your regional, that could be an uh-oh in a few weeks.
While the Hoos were putting a 17 spot in terms of the margin on Friday night, Keely Richard, who's been on this show, who's a Hokie softball pitcher and superstar, she probably took a note of that and said, that's cool, watch this. Nah, I'm going to throw another one of these zip zips. Syracuse, good luck. Got no chance hitting her. None. Zero. Keeler Richard is, she is filthy now. You put her in the circle, you are in deep trouble.
Yeah, that rise ball has some life to it. Syracuse was helpless against it. And two no-hitters, eight in her career. Quite impressive.
She can do it now, no question. We mentioned earlier about the NFL draft. The Pitt Panthers put six players in the draft, which was the most of any ACC school. Sorry, Notre Dame. But Pitt was six. And I mentioned my man Paris Ford didn't even get a call up, which was stunning. It could have been seven. But we knew from point one. Listen, you knew last year this was a talented, talented football team, especially on the defensive side. And Pat Narduzzi's guys, you know what? They got everybody's attention in the NFL. They got some dudes on that side now. We wish those guys the best.
Yeah, six players drafted. And I think what's going to be fascinating for the coming season is while Pitt's reloading on the defensive side of the ball, they've got a chance to be as good as they were defensively this past season. They've got a chance to be that good offensively because mm-hmm. there is a ton of talent coming back on the offensive side. I don't think it's a stretch to say that Pitt might end up being a top three offense in the ACC.
I don't think that's a reach at all because Kenny Pickett's got weapons, and the fact that he's decided to come back, he could have been another guy. He could have thrown in the mix. He could have said, hey, I'm ready for the NFL. We had him on the show a couple weeks ago. He said, you know what? I got some unfinished business. But I'm with you. I think Pitt offensively for 21 should be a really good football team. All right. One of our fun comments regarding lacrosse when Wes and I get into it, especially on the ladies' side, is how you handle the stick after you score. And Wes and I keep talking about somebody's going to eventually just go crazy and heave that thing 20 yards downfield. I present to you Emma Ward from Syracuse, an epic stick heave. Here we go. Check out Emma. She's 44. Bam. Goal. Bam. Power slam. Emma's a player now. Look at that. That's what we're talking about. No respect for the stick. If you break it, you break it.
Oh, that is some serious reverb. That is some serious reverb off the earth. Wow.
I like it. We mentioned the NFL draft. It was a good weekend if your name was Michael Carter. Michael Carter. No, there's not an echo here. There's just two Michael Carters, one from North Carolina and one from Duke. And they are going to the New York Jets, Carter and Carter. And I remember earlier when they played each other, Carter ran over Carter, which was a highlight. But congratulations to both these guys. They're good players.
Pack is a lifelong Jets fan, and long-suffering here is implied. Whoever hacked the Jets draft this year, please stay. Please stay. I actually walked away thinking, wow, they had a plan. You went and got a quarterback. You went and got a running back in Michael Carter. They got an offensive lineman in the first round. They got a wide receiver. The Jets actually knew what they were doing. And we now have a monopoly on Michael Carter's as well. So it was actually a rare pleasant weekend for Jet fans following the NFL draft.
I'm going to give all the credit, whether it's due or not, to Phil Savage, who's an old buddy of ours on SiriusXM fame and running the Senior Bowl and was on the Alabama Radio Network. He's now in the Jets front office, scouting like nobody's business. I had lunch with him about a month ago, and we're going over a bunch of names and stuff. So the fact that you're excited and Jets fans are excited, I'm giving Phil Savage all the credit in the world on that. So there it is.
What the danger is, though?
What's that?
You know what the danger there is, though? Because as a Jet fan, you try not to get excited because
you have to.
You know, it's like certain teams. Yeah, you know, but it's one of those deals where you get your hopes up. You know you're only going to be let down. And I told myself I wouldn't let that happen. And then here we are, dreaming again.
That's all right. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, when you're picking number two in the draft, you got to dream. And so the fact that you're excited with what you accumulated Thursday, Friday, and Saturday – good for you. We'll see how that plays out. You know, you just mentioned, Anish, how you think the University of Virginia baseball team is a group to keep an eye on. I would also offer you NC State and Elliott Avent because I'm going to tell you something. The Wolfpack is playing good baseball. They have really been hot, and this series was goofy. Now, NC State and Wake Forest, I believe it's actually the numbers 21 home runs, not even 19. But it's, I mean, what are we talking about? I mean, it only have 200 feet to left. What are we doing here? I mean, guys are hitting shots all weekend between the Wolfpack and the Deacs.
NC State is another one. They were one of those teams sort of hovering around the bubble, you know, the last few weeks, and a recent stretch of strong play. And, you know, what's interesting, you know, hitting the long ball, Elliott Avent isn't really, you know, known for, you know, that kind of style, different age of baseball now. You know, he'll like to hit and run, play small ball, do, you know, it likes the strategy part of baseball. But, yeah, my ball was flying out of the yard in that series against Wake Forest. This is a team that's playing well. I mean, last weekend they go and sweep Virginia Tech. You know, they win a midweek game against App State. You take two out of three from Wake Forest. You know, they still have Pitt. They still have Florida State. And they've got a series, you know, a couple of midweek games as well, Elon, UNC, Wilmington. So, you know, this is now a team that seems to be in strong position to get in.
Yep, I agree with you. All right, going back to a softball, we know that Clemson's been on a roll. They didn't play over the weekend. They'd won 17 in a row. But don't look now. I mean, we know about Notre Dame baseball being hot. How about Notre Dame softball? The ladies are on an 11-game win streak. What's going on with the baseball-softball combination in South Bend? Man, they've been really, really good. Really good.
Yeah, did it get warm in Indiana all of a sudden? I mean, I know it's May, but boy, Notre Dame softball, bit of heck of a spring for Notre Dame. You know, I mean, been a heck of a year for Notre Dame. You know, you get to come to the ACC in the fall, play in the football championship for the ACC. Then, you know, you have the spring, and now you got football, or you got softball, you got baseball, you got lacrosse.
Fencing wins national championships. No, and they, of course, they own fencing.
That's right, fencing.
Right? Don't forget fencing. Got to throw those guys in there. All right, one other thing. Two more things, actually. Clemson baseball has to be on the list. The Tigers really have been kind of struggling for their standard. They swept Wake Forest last weekend, and then comes big, bad, mighty Louisville. And Clemson torched them. I mean, that thing yesterday got ugly in a hurry. Goodness gracious, the Tigers have now won six straight. And Anish, are they playing themselves into the tournament?
Yeah, this Louisville sweep goes a long way. Clemson is playing themselves into the tournament. How good was Caden Grice this weekend? So Friday, three home runs, eight RBI. Saturday, he hits the game-winning home run against Louisville. And then Sunday, just to cap it off, you know, how about a 4-for-4? You know, just the 4-for-4 to cap it off. Caden Grice had himself a weekend. Quite a weekend.
No doubt about it. Tigers on a roll, six straight. Final one of the best of the weekend. We go back to one of our favorite folks on this show. That's Aaron Mattson. Of course, the North Carolina field hockey team on a roll. They are now in the semifinals. And again, they'll take on Iowa coming up on Friday. But to Aaron Mattson and Karen Shelton, go on a frozen yogurt date. Now, if you remember, Aaron was on the program. We said, hey, what's your go-to? What's coach's go-to? She goes, I don't know. Well, guess what? Intel is what we look for, and Aaron Mattson delivers. So there's she and Coach Shelton taking care of business. And the breakdown, classic vanilla with chocolate syrup. Coach went with strawberry tonight. I couldn't say no to an Oreo peanut butter, Reese's peanut butter swirl. Go Heels. So that's Aaron Mattson, one of our all-time favorites there. So there you go. The best of the weekend in the ACC. Of course, it's all about 50-50. We got to be equal here. When we come back, we give you the worst of the weekend. We're not happy to do it, but we got to do it. And guess what, Louisville baseball, you're on it. We'll come back and discuss it. I got Anish Shroff. He's filling in for West Durham. It's Packer and Durham presented by New York Life. You got us right here on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Wes is on assignment. He'll be back tomorrow. Anish Shroff hanging out with us. All right, so we just rattled through the best of. Let's quickly go through the worst of the weekend. We kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier today. Hard to believe. Marvin Wilson, Paris Ford, Charles Snowden, three of our favorite players and guests on the program, none of them received a phone call over the weekend. It's hard for me to believe, Anish.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and it's not a long limb, and say all three of those guys stick on an NFL roster?
I'm not going to take that bet because I agree with you. Because I think all three of them can play. I mean, really play. But, hey, you know what? The NFL, you do what you got to do on that front. A couple other ones real quick. The University of Virginia was the only ACC team not represented in the NFL draft. And if you would have asked me this time last week, I would have taken that bet and lost. Everybody else had at least one selection. How about that?
Wow, yeah. Not one. It's interesting. I would not have guessed Virginia would not have had a representative, and we talked about Snowden. He was a guy that we thought would be drafted, wasn't. Sorry, Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, I tell you, it's such a beautiful campus, the grounds. All right, Syracuse men's lacrosse, a 22 spot. That's what they gave up against Notre Dame, the most since 1977. Anish, it was not pretty for the Orange.
No, and frankly, the week leading up to it just was – it was weird. Think about what happened. We talked about this last Monday. Syracuse's best player, leading goal scorer – I shouldn't say best player, leading goal scorer, Chase Scanlon, was suspended a couple of weeks ago after the North Carolina game. Suspended indefinitely. Reinstated this past Monday. Reports came out that the team would not practice with him. And then we found out from John Desko that Scanlon practiced by himself. The team practiced separately. Scanlon, even though he was reinstated, did not make the trip to South Bend. That situation, again, there's so many unanswered questions, right? If he's back on the team, why isn't he going to South Bend? How did that impact the locker room? How did that impact the rest of the guys? But this is twice now Notre Dame has waxed the floor with Syracuse. And it's been a disappointing season for Syracuse. And who knows how much of the off-field stuff has impacted them throughout the year. We don't really know the lead-up to it. But we do know that this was a team that was preseason number two or number three. They were the preseason pick to win the ACC. They were the number one team in the country when last year ended. Returned pretty much the core of that team. Almost everybody came back. It's shocking to see where they are now, where they've lost by 14 to Notre Dame. They lost by 12 to North Carolina. They lost by 7 at home to Notre Dame, and they lost by 7 at home to Army. They play Robert Morris on Friday. That is, in a lot of ways, a must-win game, because if they lose that game, the optics are bad. And again, subjectivity, which has not been part of the equation for the selection committee, is in play this year. You lose to Robert Morris, man, you're really going to sweat on Selection Sunday, which is this week. Syracuse needs to win that game. I still think that they get in. They're not a top eight seed.
I mentioned earlier that Louisville lost a three-game ACC baseball series for the first time since joining the league, getting swept by Clemson. There's one more baseball note that I want to throw on here, though, and that's Boston College Luke Gold. All right? Luke Gold missed out on hitting the cycle in his last at-bat. You know why? All he needed was a single. He had a double. So, I mean, Luke Gold had a game of the ages yesterday, and I hate putting him on the worst list, but, man, a base hit, man, you got the cycle, and he just rips, I mean rips a double down the left field line in the bottom of the eighth inning. So, Luke Gold, man, awesome, awesome game. BC takes 2 out of 3 against Miami, but, the cycle's right there. Base hit, you got it. No.
Hold on a second. Wait. You're giving the guy worst of the weekend for hitting a double. I'm glad you weren't like an elementary school teacher. You got the extra credit question wrong. You know what? I'm docking you 5 points.
No. Listen, I'm giving him some love because he was awesome yesterday. And I said, BC took 2 out of 3 against Miami. But a base hit bottom the eighth. You know you're coming to your last at bat. The game's under control. Eighth inning. All I need is a single and he just hit it somewhere, and I mean, he rips it down the left field line for a double. But what an awesome day, though, for Luke Gold. So there you go. All right, so that's our number
one. That's a team player.
That's right. That's exactly right. So there it is, the best and the worst of the weekend. Again, we'll take phone calls to it, 844-SAY-ACCN. But when we come back, hour number two, we go around the ACC. I told you, there was a ton of stuff going on. Anish Shroff, he is filling in for West Durham. You got us right here. Packer and Durham, ACC Network, presented by New York Life.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.